Studio 360.
We are, I guess the right phrase is probably girding our loins for Margaret Atwood's sequel to The Handmaid's Tale. The Testaments is being published in September. One of the most terrifying characters in The Handmaid's Tale is Aunt Lydia. She's an enforcer in Gilead, the Christian theocracy that America has become. In the Hulu series, she's played by Anne Dowd, who won an Emmy last year for her performance.
Such spoiled girls you are! Such spoiled brats!
You might not have heard of her until recently, but you're probably a fan without knowing it. She played Tom Hanks's sister in Philadelphia, appeared as many different characters over the years on Law & Order. In fact, for decades now, Anne Dowd has played so many scene-stealing supporting roles. Recently as Viggo Mortensen's mother-in-law in Captain Fantastic, as Toni Collette's eccentric friend in Hereditary.
Would you like to come in with me?
I'm sorry, really, I really did forget something.
My son died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
4 months ago, the little one was 7. I've been coming here for a couple of months now, and it has helped. It doesn't make it easier, obviously, but sometimes it makes it less lonely.
Anne Dowd, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Before I start, do you have just the slightest Irish lilt in your voice?
I do, and I'm not sure why that is, as I've never been to Ireland, but my background is Irish.
Yeah, well, Dowd, right?
There you go.
But it's more than a little Irish. It's like you were born there and came here at 8 or something.
It's funny. I don't know what it's about, but it is present.
Yeah, it is indeed. And so before we get into all of your newish mega success as an actor, I want to talk about how you began the whole life. This is your life, Anne Dowd. So,
thank you.
Was acting always the plan when you were growing up?
No, I went to college and I was pre-med for 4 years at Holy Cross College in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
So I did pre-med there and also took acting classes and did plays. And towards the end of my experience, I had an organic chemistry teacher, Mike McGrath, who said, "You don't seem happy, so you don't have to do that, you know." And so then on my senior year of college, I auditioned for an acting school in Chicago. And then I went.
Really? And didn't take MCATs or apply to medical school or anything?
I stopped just short.
Good for you. Finding it just in time.
Just
rather
in time.
Rather than have to give up after 8 years of medical school.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. You seem like a doctor. You would have been a fine doctor.
Well, I would have, you know, I would have enjoyed it, but I don't think I chose incorrectly.
Yeah.
It doesn't haunt me, in other words.
Right. Like every actor in New York, subsequently, you got a role on Law & Order.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved every Law & Order thing I ever did.
Yeah. But I only slightly exaggerate saying every actor in New York.
I think so. It's
90s.
A rite of passage.
Right? Yeah, and here's a scene from that episode, first season of Law & Order. You're working in an organ transplant place.
And you can track where every kidney came from?
Sure, and where it goes. For example, this morning in Miami, a 14-year-old boy died in a diving accident, and tomorrow, a 63-year-old potato farmer in Boise will get his kidney.
Unbelievable.
Not really. It gets packed in ice. Federal Express does the rest.
I don't recognize her at all.
Literally?
No. I would have said...
I swear it's you.
I mean, slightly remember, but yeah. What a long time ago.
But, I mean, 1991 doesn't sound like forever ago to me.
No, not to me either.
Yeah. One of your roles that, again, I watched the show at the time, but until I was preparing for this, like, whoa, yeah. Oh, Freaks and Geeks, the beloved cult hit of 1999. You played this character called Cookie Kelly.
Yeah, I love her so much.
Who was, again, a problematic person, mother of the character played by Busy Phillips,
the doll.
Here's a clip of you when you're catching your character's daughter in a lie.
What street is it on?
Benton Harbor Street.
You are a lying brat.
I knew it. I told you.
I'm not lying. You guys just can't believe that I can make a friend who's rich and smart. Oh, she's not smart. No, she is. She's really smart. I swear to God, she's smart. She's a bum, like all your other friends.
What's happening?
It's that car. You're driving around town, you're tramping it up in that car. I know what you do.
Yeah, well, you should know. I learned it from you.
You're grounded for good. You got me?
Newsflash, you're not my father, fat ass.
Damn right I'm not.
Oh, that's it. We're selling the car.
No, that's my car. Aunt Kathy gave me that car.
Oh, yeah? Well, your Aunt Kathy spent $1,000 of my money snorting up a nose. So as far as I'm concerned, that car is mine.
That's Ann Dowd.
Ha! What a blast that was.
You were great in that.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And you know the guy in the back who says, what's going on?
Yeah.
I had to literally
who just sort of wakes up and notices. Yeah.
That's the writer. That's Mike White.
Uh-huh.
That's the writer. And they all looked like they were 16.
And he subsequently created the HBO series Enlightened.
I mean, he's, you know, I couldn't look at him because I would burst out laughing every time. What's going on? I just thought, are you kidding
yeah.
me? So many times you literally had to say, don't laugh, don't laugh. Because they throw you lines to say.
Yeah.
Right there on the spur of the moment, I think, oh, my God, if I can get this out without howling, I will.
You also had that working middle class semi-Boston accent down. Really
I thought
nicely.
It was New York.
Really?
I didn't know what it was. But when I went into the audition, I said, it's got to be something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And they let me do it.
Yeah.
I was so grateful.
It was convincing. Whatever it was.
I had a blast.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it immensely. Yeah.
And you were kind of in your rough way, that was a kind of sexy role.
Yeah, skinny.
Yeah.
I'm watching the
I'm
weight.
Not just saying that, just in general. She obviously was somebody
yeah.
for whom...
someone put makeup and hair
yeah,
and
all
you
that.
Know, a little cleavage and we're going there.
All that. In the first season of True Detective, you played the serial killer's...
sister.
Love
interest.
Companion.
Oh, God.
Here's a clip of you with Woody Harrelson.
Where's Billy Childress?
Old Bill?
Yeah.
He's in this house, mister.
Uh-huh. This isn't his? Who do you live here with?
I think you should go now.
Mm-hmm. Where is she?
All around us. Before you were born. And after you die.
I loved that sister in True Detective. Never got half a chance for a life and somehow found a way to survive. That always intrigues me.
Yeah.
Given the worst odds, found a way to have a life that to her has meaning.
Yeah. I mean, that impulse to generosity and kindness about this the fictional character who is not in the straight and narrow or in some cases much worse than that, is that part of how you are able to enact them not as a caricature sympathetically? Even if they're bad people?
Well, the way I like to describe it would be rule number one, and you learn this early, is no judgment. Because judgment shuts all doors, in my opinion. So if the hope is to meet that character and come to know that character, like a relationship or a friendship,
uh-huh.
you got to be patient, you got to be respectful, and you can't come in with an attitude of, you know what, you've blown it.
Right.
You've got a problem.
You're Hitler, and I'm going to play you like Hitler.
That's it. Right? You're weird, and you're mean, and you're just sick.
Yeah.
Then nothing comes from that.
Right.
And plus, it's the imagination. It's make-believe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
in real life, you can judge.
Yeah, in real life, I just sit there judging left and right.
Good. Glad to hear it.
But it's a great way to get to know a character. To bring, you know, here's a little bit about me. Tell me a little bit about you. Let's see how far we can go
here. Like a shrink of your own character, maybe, so a bit?
Well, I think it's more like a friendship.
Right.
You know, but an intelligent friendship,
right.
Let us say.
So most of these roles, the ones I remember, are these great, smallish character supporting roles.
I remember someone saying to me, an agent long time ago just saying, you know, you realize you're only going to play character roles. And I remember thinking in my head, you're a fool because you're wrong, number one, and you just said the worst thing you can say to an actor.
Yeah.
Not that a character role is a bad thing, but just any limitation.
Right.
Anyone who says you can only do this, right away you have to laugh and say, you're mistaken.
Yeah. I want to talk about the role that I think first got you a lot of attention. In the film Compliance, you played this character, Sandra, who is based on a real person. And for people who haven't seen it yet, describe that movie.
Well, it is based on a true story, something that happened over 70 times in 34 states in this country, of a man pretending to be a detective who makes a phone call to usually fast food restaurants on a busy night and gets the manager to take in one of her waitresses and keep her in the office because she supposedly has stolen something. And it's what ensues when this would-be detective, what is the word, manipulates over many hours the situation, and that finally ends up in a full-blown sexual assault.
As a,
it's just horrific.
And you play this fast food manager.
The fast food manager.
Let's watch.
Yes.
And I have your regional manager, Robert Gilmore, on the other
right.
line. We need to act now.
Okay.
Your responsibility is to facilitate that action. So, it's your job. You understand?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I'll do everything, you know, that you need.
Okay. So, I'm going to need you to have her stripped down now. Look through everything.
Okay. He says, it's time to... Let's just try to... The faster you do it, honey, the faster we're finished.
It reminded me, because now the world knows you as Aunt Lydia in Handmaid's Tale, of a person who thinks she's doing good is suddenly doing this awful, awful thing. There's some parallel there, right?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. That person, Sandra, somehow...
Your character.
Yes, in compliance. Long time ago, lost the awareness that... You have your own sense of what's right and what's wrong. It doesn't come from authority. It comes from you. You're raised a certain way, but you at some point realize, you know what? Had she had some sense of balance about it, she would have said to the guy, listen, it's a Friday night. I'm sorry the situation
happening.
I'll call
you back.
You'll have to send someone because I've got to get back to work here. Right. And I can't do these things you're suggesting. I'm just not comfortable.
Right.
I mean, how hard would that be?
Right.
It's not hard.
Right.
For her, it never occurred to her that you can say to someone who says he's a detective, no. Now, Lydia, again, going back to that notion, don't judge, see if you can figure out why she does what she does.
Yeah.
So she's in a world that has gone to hell. Bruce Miller suggested, our showrunner, that she was probably a teacher. That's hugely helpful in her past life before Gilead. So imagine her in a public school, the promiscuity, the cursing, the disrespect, no relationship to God.
All of the things that caused the
world to go
dystopia
to
happen.
That's it. And then, the beautiful earth destroyed. And then you can't have babies. I think her realization that in order to write this, there can be no half measures. It has to be full on. It has to be extreme. Or there is no way that we're going to get things back on track.
Right.
I think she's committed to that and believes in
it. Right, which makes it all the more terrifying in its...
Yeah.
Plausibility.
I mean, I think she feels she has a good reason, and if it's too much, I'm sorry, girls.
I want to talk about one scene in particular from the first episode of this second season. And listeners, there may be some spoilers if you're worried about that. So the handmaids.
Thank you for listening.
The handmaids, led by Elizabeth Moss's character Offred, defy Lydia and refuse to stone another of the handmaids, Janine. And Offred is spared because she's pregnant.
Yeah.
You have quite an adventure ahead of you. And we are going to make sure you get absolutely everything you need.
We certainly won't have any more theatrics, will we?
Oh, such nonsense. Such a waste of energy. And for what? But nothing.
Janine isn't nothing.
Do you think you've done her a kindness? Janine is on her way to the colonies. She will suffer because of you. Every handmaid who followed you into disobedience will face the consequences, but not you. You are with child. You are protected. But you know that. Such a brave girl, aren't you? Standing in defiance, but risking nothing. Now, eat.
I was just thinking, how does one deal with a teenager? I have a teenager now. And you begin with bright spirit because she is pregnant and that's what matters most, period, that this baby survive. So we're going to make it hopeful. I think Lydia's hoping she's learned a lesson. We're not going to have defiance. We're not going to have nonsense, right?
Right.
And let's keep it, hey, honey, we can do it the easy way or the hard way.
Right.
Let's do it the easy way.
No, that was like a certain kind of motherish authority figure.
Let's hope for the best here. And then when it's clear that, in point of fact, she has learned nothing.
And is still a tough rebel.
And is defiant as ever. Right. And just thinks she's the greatest thing that walked in a red cloak. That's when Lydia just, you know. I think underneath, from the very beginning, she's on the cusp of, listen, smarty.
Seeing you in your other great, one of your other great performances recently in Hereditary.
Oh, yeah.
Where you play a different kind of religiously motivated freak. And you grew up Catholic.
I did.
Went to Catholic college. Went to a Catholic graduate school.
Well, I went, yes, in fact, yeah.
Right. So are you still religious? Are you Catholic? Are you religious?
I am not religious, no. I have a spiritual life with which I am comfortable, but it is not based on religion. No.
But when you think about Lydia, you must draw on that life experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Prayer is something I'm very comfortable with. I mean, I was raised that way. I think they're beautiful. So learning that kind of language is something that appeals to me. The work ethic, I certainly draw on that. The devotion to God, meaning it's not about you or me. It's about being in service to God. That's very familiar to me. Don't make it about yourself. Consider others. I was going to say kindness, but I don't suppose that applies to Lydia, does it? Not on the surface. No.
Now, the measure of how much your enactment of Lydia has gotten into the culture really became clear at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Oh, God.
Right? When Michelle Wolf, the comedian doing her famous bit, much of which focused on Sarah Huckabee Sanders, directed in one of her jokes about her, it was referring to your character. Here's the bit of that.
And of course we have Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We are graced with Sarah's presence tonight. I have to say I'm a little starstruck. I love you as Aunt Lydia in The Handmaid's Tale. Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it, you would love it.
The LA Times asked you what you thought, and you wrote, I assume you and not your publicist,
I did write it.
Wrote
yep.
This beautiful response, which I happen to have here.
Oh, how nice of you. Do you want me to read it?
I would love you to read it.
From my experience, Lydia is a straightforward person with a low tolerance for confusion and nonsense. Had she been offered the job of press secretary for the present administration, she most likely would have turned it down. Also, Lydia has the comfort of believing that everything she says and does is in service to God. Miss Sanders has no such luxury.
Nicely said.
Well, I didn't want to insult her, you see.
It was classy.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And thoughtful.
Thank you.
And smart. Let's talk about another performance that got you another Emmy nomination. Patti Levin on The Leftovers. Here's a clip from the second season. It is a very complicated situation, but you're kind of hunting Justin Theroux's character, Kevin. He confronts you in the woods and says he knows somebody who'll help exorcise you.
So what?
He knows what you are. He knows how to get rid of you.
Then why the fuck are you out here in the woods calling for me? This man gave you a solution, and you ran. You think I'm scared to do battle with you? Oh, Kevin. I am so desperate to do battle. So let's go. Let's go back. Right now, let's go fucking die.
So we shot that for a bit.
Huh.
Deep in the woods. How pretty are those woods?
Yeah.
This is in Austin, Texas.
And that scene, I mean, you socked him. Was that a real slap?
Do you know what? I'm embarrassed to tell you that it was, and it shouldn't have been. Because I'm old enough to know you don't do it for real. That's why they have stage combat. And he's a trooper. He should have slugged me back. I hauled off and whacked him.
And that was a one-take sock?
Well, that was. I mean, afterward, I felt terrible about it. And he was very generous and kind. But yes, I did, in fact, hit him.
You method actor.
How awful. That's terrible.
Yeah.
It really is.
Patti was another kind of scary character. Are you okay with being typecast as these terrifying people?
Yeah, my husband said, you should be, I mean, don't you want to play someone who's like nice or something? I mean, I don't know. I never think about it. Typecast. I don't know. And I love going to the lower depths. I just think that's a ticket to heaven.
Yeah. It seems to me that you are an example of one of several people who, this is a kind of golden age for middle-aged great actresses. I mean, Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, God, she's so
you,
good.
You, Margot Martindale,
yes.
A bit older. But like all these people doing great work, and we now know their names in a way that like
isn't that wonderful?
20 years ago, we wouldn't.
No, you're right. I think that's fantastic. I couldn't be, honestly, well, I couldn't be more grateful, but and that is the truth. But when you see, women are fascinating human beings. Men are too. But a woman's story, are you kidding? And life is more interesting as you get older.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it.
Yep.
It's so much more, there's so much more to it. I mean, I think it's tremendously underrated in some ways. Physically, it's a bit of a nuisance. But emotionally and otherwise, oh my gosh, you're just getting started, really, aren't you? And you let go of this and you let go of that. And you think, what was I worried about that for? No, no, no. Let go of the controls. Drop the armor. Don't need it.
Yeah.
That's kind of a lovely thing.
Yeah. Ann Dowd, you're a pleasure to watch.
So are you.
On television and movie theaters, but in real life as well.
I wish people could see you when you talk. Your very expressive face.
Really?
And your thoughts are
going...
So
it's not just a face for radio, you're telling
no,
me.
No, I'm saying I wish you could film this. It's very good.
And out, really, a delight. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I spoke with Ann Dowd last fall. She's currently filming, and this seems perfect, a remake of Hitchcock's Rebecca, which is also starring Kristin Scott Thomas, Lily James, and Armie Hammer.